preach, but to be here to serve along with him and with you. Thank y'all as well, for y'all have entrusted me to teach your kids, and I do not take that lightly for the time being. It is a daunting task at times with some of the kids that we have. Nick, Alec, but it is a great honor and a great privilege, for sure, because some of the greatest lessons that I learned was when I was a teenager, when I was 11, 12 years old. My name is Christopher Wayne Weaver. I was born 10-10-92, for those of you who want to know. I am a graduate of Crown College in Powell, Tennessee. I will go back to walk in May. Thankfully, all my classes are done. Now I just have to pay for them all. I take checks and cash if you wish to help. So I was saved at the age of 11. Actually, I was sitting down watching ESPN. My mom, we were all homeschooled. My mom was actually witnessing to my little sister in the next room. I was sitting down watching TV. I had finished my school for the day. And after listening, overhearing what my mom was saying to my little sister, I knew I wasn't saved. I went back by myself to my room. I'd made a profession of faith when I was 5, been baptized, but I didn't really understand what I had done what someone told me to do. And went back by myself, got by my bed, and prayed and accepted the Lord as my Savior. Didn't tell anybody. Kept my mouth shut. Didn't really put it out there, because obviously I had, you know, made a profession of faith. You know, oh no, Chris wasn't saved. And it wasn't for many, many years until I was actually in college. I was a sophomore in college when I was baptized, and began to tell my testimony when I actually did get saved. But tonight we'll be looking at the book of Malachi, chapter number 4. One of my favorite portions of scripture to read and to study is actually the book of Malachi. This message tonight was one that has touched my heart, and I hope it will touch yours as well. Malachi chapter number 4, we'll be looking at verse number 2. The Bible says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Let's open up in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this evening. Dear God, we can take your word and learn more about you. Dear God, I would ask you that even as I speak, the words that I say are not my words, that they're your words. Dear God, the thoughts that I give tonight, dear Lord, are not my thoughts, but your thoughts. And dear Lord, the message that we look at tonight, dear God, would be your message. Dear Lord, I ask you to calm my heart. Dear Lord, calm my nerves. Lord, I ask you that you would touch each and every heart in here. Dear Lord, as the old song says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Dear Lord, I would ask that you would meet with us tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. The book of Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, just before the Old Testament ends. And they go into an intertestamental period where there's hundreds of years where there's no open revelation from God to God's people. And just before there's a sign off, just before there's an end of speaking, Malachi writes this verse, and there's a phrase in this verse I want to focus in on tonight, and I hope it will be a great blessing to you. If we look at the verse again, it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Tonight I want to focus in on that phrase that says healing in his wings. Why would this be one of the last phrases that a prophet writes just before God goes silent? If you imagine just before you say goodbye to someone for a short time, maybe you say I love you, or you say, you know, I hope to see you soon, or you know, you give them some kind of greeting, or some kind of, you know, phrase that you leave them with. And this is one of the phrases: the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Why, out of all the things that Malachi could have written, would this phrase, healing in his wings and the Son of Righteousness, be one that he would write? I mean, he could write about the coming of the Lord, which basically what it is. He could write about many things, but he chooses this phrase. So I want to preach you a message, if you're keeping notes, entitled Healing in His Wings. The first thing we're going to look at is the presumption about this passage of Scripture that many of us in our 21st century minds have. If you look at the phrase healing in his wings, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you see the word wings? Angel. So, does Jesus Christ have wings? Why is this phrase here? The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. What is it talking about when he says wings? When we think of wings, I work at Chick-fil-A, I think of chicken wings. I do. Like, the first time I ever read this portion of Scripture, I'm thinking, healing in his wing, that doesn't make sense. That's not making sense in my homeschooled Bible college 21st century mind. It's not. It just didn't. And I look at this Scripture and I'm thinking, okay, why in the world? Because I understand that between Malachi and Matthew, there's hundreds of years where God doesn't say anything. And there's this phrase, and it's got wings. But for us to understand this phrase, healing in his wings, we have to go back to the 17th and 18th century language that our King James Version was written in. And the word wings has a different definition than the word wings, chicken wings, you know, buffalo wild wings, you know, wings, real wings, meat that you actually eat. We have to go back to that time period and think of what wings actually is. The definition for wings actually is very, very interesting. It says outer extremity, border, or edge of a garment. So if you think about it, it's the very end of perhaps a robe or a sheet or a cloth. The wing would be the part that just kind of there at the end. It's at the very bottom of it. The edge. So it gets our minds to thinking, okay, healing in his wings. But unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Okay, in his wings, healing, border of a garment. It's not chicken wings, it's actually the edge of a garment. For us to fully understand this, we need to not only look at the presumption that we each have, but we need to look at the person. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter number 28. We have to go back to, in our minds, we have to go back to the time where the priests made sacrifice. Because this is what this verse is actually in reference to. The border, the edge of the garment, remember, is the wings he is talking about. Exodus chapter number 28, I want to show you what he's making reference to. Exodus 28, verse 31, it says, "And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be a hole in the top of it in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the hole of an harbingeon." That's a really big word, I don't know that one. "That it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of scarlet, and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell of a pomegranate, and a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not." It makes reference to the hem of a garment, the hem of the priest's garment. And on the hem of the priest's garment, he would have a pomegranate and a bell. So he'd have this little ball and this bell that would be around the hem or the edge of his garment or the wing of his garment. And when the priest wore his priestly robe, this blue robe, he would, wherever he would go, the bells would sound. We just came out of the Christmas season, and the Christmas season is my favorite time of year. But one of the things that gets on my nerves the most is, you know those little bells they put on the doors, the front door? How many of you have ever put a bell on your front door at Christmas time? Okay, that's annoying to me. Imagine having these little bells on the end of his garment. This guy would walk around, and every time he stepped, every time he moved, every time he walked, those bells would ring. Don't you think he would know where he was every single second of every single day when he had the robe on? Don't you think that that might just get a little annoying after a while? It would to me. That's just how I think. But the priest had this garment, and he had these bells, and if you think about it, if you think about the Jewish mindset and actually living in a culture where your life revolved around the blood sacrifice, your life revolved around what this high priest did in the Holy of Holies, you got used to those bells. You got used to hearing when he moved. You got used to hearing when he walked around. So when Malachi writes this phrase in Malachi chapter number 4, he's making reference back to the high priest and wearing these bells, but he doesn't say when you hear the bells ring. He doesn't say anything about that. He says healing in his wings. So why does he say healing in his wings? If you will, look over at Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 16. As we continue to look at the person of the high priest in which this is referenced to, there's something that we've got to understand about what actually happens when he would go on the Day of Atonement and make sacrifice for the people's sins. Because it's all connected. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered before the Lord and died. Verse number 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in a cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. The Lord is speaking to Moses about how Aaron is supposed to go in to make sacrifice for the people, and he actually tells him not to wear the blue coat. He tells him that when he is to go in and make atonement for the people, that to take those bells and that coat that he would always wear, where everybody would know what he was always doing, and he would take that coat off. He would wash his flesh, and he would put on a white linen coat, white linen robe with pants, and he would go in and make sacrifice in those clothes, because the Lord said that those are the holy clothes that he was supposed to do. If you look down at verse 29, it says, and this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. And it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. So as we're beginning to see what the priest did when he went in, we got to remember that when he went into the holy place, he took off that robe that made that noise. He took off that robe that made that jingling. And when he did, he went in silently with the holy garments on. He would go in silently, and he would make atonement for his people. Now, if you have something that makes noise constantly 24/7, and then it doesn't make noise anymore, don't you think you notice it? Don't you think this day would be a day where everyone knew what was going to happen anyway? Because it's the Day of Atonement. It's a day when the high priest would go and ask for forgiveness for your sins. You knew which day this was. You knew when this was going to happen. And then the high priest goes in to make atonement for your sins, and he takes off that robe, and you can't hear him. You don't have a clue what's going on. You don't know what's going on in there. He's in the holy place doing his duty. He goes into the Holy of Holies to put the blood on the mercy seat so that you can be forgiven of your sins. And imagine in the Jewish mindset, what's going on in there? Is everything okay? And when he finishes, he was to come out of the holy place, and he would put back on his robe. He would put back on that blue robe that he wore all the time. And you would hear the bells jingle again. You say, okay, so you would hear the bells again. Well, what did that mean? When the high priest came out of the holy place, when he came out of the holy holies, when he came out into the congregation and to the people yet again, what did that mean after the Day of Atonement? When he was done, what did that mean for all the people? It means their sins were forgiven. It means they then had a place to commune with God. It meant that once again, they could walk step in step with the Lord. It meant that they heard those bells ring. They heard those bells ring again, and they knew that they were forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a little kid, and this is just how my mind works, if I was a little Jewish boy, and I heard those bells ring again, you know how exciting that would be? My sins are forgiven. I don't have to do anything to walk closer to God because my sins are forgiven. The high priest has gone on and he's made atonement for my sins. There is nothing else I have to do. There is nothing more I have to say to be closer to God. And then I would hear those bells and I would hear the priest go about his daily routine after the Day of Atonement, and he would just go about his business and know that because of what he did in there and because of that sacrifice, I am now closer to God. So we start to understand, you know, this is the reason that Malachi wrote this phrase, healing in his wings. The Son of Righteousness shall come. Because after a couple hundred years of silence where there's no open revelation from God, Jesus Christ is going to step on the scene and John the Baptist is going to say, behold the Lamb of God which take away the sins of the world. And not only is he going to point to him and say that, but this man is not only going to be a man and God, but he's going to be our high priest. This is what he's making reference to. But we have to understand what happened in Leviticus and in Exodus to be able to understand that that's what he's pointing to. And the healing that would come when the high priest went into the temple, the healing that was already there, the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy, all of that that was available could be available again in flesh when he came. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 9. So we get to see a little bit of the person that's there. We get to see a little bit of what the prophet was meaning. But you think to yourself, okay, so he had healings in his wings, so he took, you know, the robe off when he went in, and when it was done, he put the robe back on and he walked out. How does this affect me? Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him. And so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased, which had an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him. What's the next phrase? And touched the hem of his garment. You think she'd read Malachi chapter number 4, verse number 2? You think they had been taught, you know, this is what's... She understood what it meant when he put that robe back on and he walked out. She understood that when those bells rang, she was not only forgiven, but she was loved, and she was healed of her sin. Oftentimes we take small little phrases like that in the Bible, and we think, that's kind of cool. But it revolutionized her life. Because it says she had an issue of blood. I don't know about y'all, but I was born with a heart defect called tetralogy of Fallot. I had open heart surgery when I was 2 weeks old. When I was born, when I came out, I was completely blue, and my heart was not circulating blood correctly through my body. And when they took me from the delivery room they were supposed to take me to the prenatal care unit, but the nurse that was actually wheeling me from the delivery room to the prenatal care unit, first day on the job, he didn't really know the hospital very well, and he took a wrong turn. Went to ICU. When he went through the doors of ICU, my heart flatlined. And if he hadn't have been where he was, I would have died. But I stayed in the hospital for 2 weeks. And after those 2 weeks, they did open heart surgery and cut me from top to bottom. And they repaired my heart defect. For those 2 weeks, my mom and my dad went home. And when they went home, they went to a small little country church called Ruby Street Baptist Church in Montgomery. I say country church in the middle of a city, but it was a country church in the middle of a city, if you know what I'm saying. And they understood something about the healing in his wings. Because that church, y'all, that church for me, they held prayer night after night. Because they understood that he had healing in his wings. They understood that if there was someone who could touch this little baby, that it was God that could do it. And there are times we go through our lives and we face difficult situations. We face, you know, transitions. We face remodels. We face big things like that. We face health problems. We face loss of loved ones. We face difficult times at home. Perhaps in a marriage, perhaps in a relationship, perhaps, you know, even in family. We face those difficult things. And we think, you know, oh, my salvation is only, you know, I'm going to heaven. But no. It's more than that. The forgiveness that you found when you were saved, the forgiveness that the high priest accomplished, the forgiveness that Jesus Christ accomplished when he put the blood on the mercy seat in heaven, can bring a lot more healing in this world than just spiritual. See, Malachi understood that, and Malachi wrote down, he said, there shall be healing in the Son of Righteousness when he comes, there will be healing in his wings. This woman understood that, and she was willing to take her physical needs. In another portion of Scripture, it says she literally fought through a crowd to get to Jesus and just to touch the very edge of his robe so she could be healed. We get really desperate at times when all hope is lost. We get really desperate at times when there's nowhere else to turn and we finally turn to God. But how much to you does it mean that there's healing in his wings? I know what it means to me. It saved my life. It is the only reason I'm here. Because even though I wasn't saved, God touched me, touched my life when I didn't deserve it. Even for each of us who have reached out to him in salvation, we don't deserve it. We do not deserve it. And the actual healing that he can give each and every single one of us is beyond any of our imagination. And the only time we really turn to him is when we're overwhelmed, is when we've come to the end of ourselves, when we have done everything that we can do. We've tried everything. Oh, then I'll turn to God. Malachi was leaving one thing because God went silent after the fourth chapter of Malachi for hundreds of years. Oftentimes, after being in Bible college for 5 years, I did 4 years and five. After being in Bible college, you get this sense where everyone wants to be the preacher that brings the revival. We need revival, we need revival, we need revival, we need revival. And every preacher boy there wants to be the one to just lay it down. But we would find what we need in this nation. We would find what we needed in our own hearts. We would find what we needed as a church as a whole. If we would simply truly believe that if I got to the hem of his garment, if that's all I had, I would find my healing that I needed. Matthew chapter 14. And we'll close with this. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country, unto all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they may only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touch were made perfectly whole. I challenge you tonight not only to be the person that goes yourself and finds in your relationship with Christ and finds the healing and the grace and everything that you need to be able to make it another day. I challenge you to find someone else and bring them too. Because if we did that, what would Mobile be like? What would each church look like if there was Christians who truly believed in their heart that everything they needed could be found in God? Everything to satisfy their soul. Not only their soul, but their friends and their family and their family. And you get the idea. Tonight, do you believe that there is healing in his wings? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor comes, he will extend the invitation.
In just a moment, Melissa will begin.